My name is Kyle. So glad to see each and every one of you. They got rid of that other guy because it wasn't working out and they brought me in. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, so glad to see each and every one of you. I'm waiting on all the people to grab their phones and their cameras and run to the front row since I'm on stage now. Did y'all see that a minute ago? That's never happened to me. Like this right up here happened and shoo, it was awesome. Great to worship with each and every one of you. I'm thankful for our little ones leading us in worship this morning. Amen. It was really, really, really good. Hope you're all doing well. I want to jump right in and just get talking about what we want to talk about that today, and that is Easter. What's the big deal? I want to encourage you that if you missed last week's sermon, to hop online or on the app and listen in, because there's some things in there that we think are huge for our lives as followers of Jesus and our lives as the church here at Holland Chapel, and so we'd love for you to tap into that. I want to give you something you put in your notes really quick, and we're going to come back to it several times this morning as we think about Easter. Easter is every day. Easter is for everybody, and Easter changes everything. I'm going to repeat that. Easter is every day. Easter is for everybody, and Easter changes everything. And I hope as we think and as we look into God's word today, we begin to realize that this statement that's on the screen right now is incredibly, incredibly true. If you were here last week, I want to refer back to something that we talked about. If you weren't, I want to explain it really quick. Last week, we introduced this idea of you creating, some of you already have it, but we're calling it a lost list. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, those of you who are believers, for you to begin thinking about who needs to be on your list, your neighbors, your friends, your family, your coworkers, the people you go to school with, the people that you do life with, the people that you have fun with, the people that you went to school with, who needs to be on your lost list? And so we encouraged you last week to come up with at least five names of people that are in your world that you can begin praying specifically that they would understand who Jesus is, that they would have what we have in Jesus. And so if you were here last week, you ought to be able to pick up your pen and fill in five names really, really quick. If you weren't here last week, I want you to begin even now writing some names down on your notes of who your five are. And we're going to refer back to that in just a few moments. So make your lost list. And again, we spoke into that greatly last week. So if you want to hear more about that, go back and listen. And we're going to talk about it more today. We talked about how our lost list really affects us greatly. It affects us in how we do life. If we're thinking, man, I know these people who don't know Jesus and they're listening to me and I'm getting to have conversations with them, it's going to affect the way that I interact with them. We also talked about how it affects the way we worship. That if we show up here expecting one of the people on our lost list to show up today, we're going to worship with a little bit more intensity. We're going to make sure everything is just right for our guests to be here. And if somebody on our lost list isn't here, there's a good chance that somebody on somebody else's lost list is going to be here. Well, I was worshiping last week, and I saw something happen. It was really, really cool. And I'm not going to say the person's name because they'd probably get embarrassed if I said their name, but it was so cool. I was sitting about midways back last week worshiping with you guys, and an older couple came in. They were kind of late for getting here. I'd never seen them before. They were first-time guests at our church, and they were trying to find a place to sit because it was pretty full, and I was about to step out and help them find a spot, and they found a few seats. Well, they go in the aisle, and I noticed this person that was sitting here, they could have simply just slipped back and let them on through, but instead, they reached down in the middle of worship, reached down, gathered up all their stuff, picked it up, moved down three or four seats so that that brand new couple could sit down. I just thought that was so huge, so small, so huge. That's just us accommodating guests into our presence, more importantly, into the presence of God. Isn't that pretty cool to see that kind of stuff happening? And I thank you guys so much for making that happen so many times, and we don't ever see it. I want you to don't underestimate the power of the invite. We want you to be inviting people to church. We want you to be inviting people to Jesus. I want to share a couple stories with you really quick. I think we got a picture coming on the screen, and here it is. So we'll leave that one up there for just a moment. There was a couple sitting over here a few weeks ago. I know them. they don't attend our church. And I walked over to them and I said, man, it's so good to see you. I said, you know, what brought you here today? And they said, we got an invitation. And they pulled it out and they showed me this, okay? They showed me this. Here's the outside of the invitation. Here's the inside of the invitation. Dear Grandma, I want to invite you to church and have a wonderful time. Love Jude to Grandma from Jude. Love you. They could not resist saying yes to the invitation. And if you got a grandma or you got a grandson or you got a grand friend, I'm here to tell you that if you're willing to take a step out of your comfort zone and say, I want you to come to church with me. Next picture, here they are all together worshiping Jesus on that Sunday because that little guy right there said, I love you, Grandma. And Grandma knew it, right? There's people that you love and they know you love them and you need to share the love of Jesus with them. Potentially by just saying, I want to invite you to church with me. I want to share another story with you really quick that began on the baseball field here in Benton. And there was a baseball team with a coach, and that coach was part of our church. And that coach started inviting one of the dads, one of the kids on his team to church with him. Said, man, I want you to come to church with me at Holland Chapel. And the dad said, you know, thanks, appreciate that. Anyway, as time went on, just kind of week after week, this coach said, man, when are you coming? When are you going to come with us? Like, I'm waiting on you to join us. Man, I'm really ready for you to come and be with us at Holland Chapel. So this invite kind of kept coming and kept coming. Well, as time went on a little bit, a life-changing moment happened in this dad who had been invited. His wife was diagnosed with cancer, and his world got shaken. Guess who he reached out to? He reached out to his baseball coach. His baseball coach reached out to the pastors. They went and met with that man. They shared the gospel with him. He got on his knees, and he received Christ, and his life has forever been changed. And Todd is here today worshiping Jesus because of that invitation. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Beautiful. Beautiful. Don't underestimate the power of the invite. Easter is every day. Easter is for everybody, and Easter changes everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we get to worship Jesus amongst some incredible people, and I believe that God has allowed us to be a part of a great, great church. Don't you agree? Don't you agree? Holland Chapel is just a great church. I mean, it's just great. God's in charge here. He's doing great things here. He has done it for years. He's continuing to do it. I love getting up on Sunday morning and coming to worship with you guys. I really, really do. It's just a joy for me. And I think there's a lot of reasons why we are a part of a great church. I think there's a lot of reasons. But let me give you a few reasons that I think are big reasons as to why we have a great church. I think that one of the big reasons why we have a great church is because we have a great group of pastors. Man, Luke and Keaton and Nick and Grant and Josh, man, these guys make up an incredible group of spiritual men who lead our church well. And a lot of those guys you see pretty often and you hear from pretty often, there's one of them that you just don't hear very often. He's serving. He is always leading people towards Jesus. He's making great impacts in what God's doing in and through our church and what God is doing in and through our city. And I'll even go further than that, in and through our world. But what's going to happen this morning is kind of unique, kind of unusual, kind of outside his comfort zone, but I love it. I mean, let me just go ahead and say that one of the reasons why he's not been here is because he's been on his country music tour, but he's taking a break from that. And Josh Turner is going to join me on stage this morning to bring God's word. So y'all welcome Josh up on the stage, all right? Hello. Are you off too?
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
There we all right. go.
So Josh Turner, everybody, a lot of you know him. Maybe you haven't, but Josh is one of our pastors here and just passionate for Jesus. And so I wanted to have him help us answer this question that we have been posing last week and this week and just throw it at you and just say, man, Easter, what's the big deal?
You know, we got one shot. One shot. We got one life to live for Jesus, and this is it. This is it.
So, man, we were talking this week, you know, I've gotten to hear your story several times, and I get to do life with you every day, so I get to see your story played out. I know some people here have heard much of your story. Some people have never heard your story. But, man, like, what brings you to say that today, like, to be at that point to realize, man, this is it?
I'll give you a little short testimony. About 7 years ago, I was pulling in on a train. I worked for Union Pacific Railroad, pulling in on a train to Longview, Texas. And I heard the guy I was working with was on the phone, and he was talking to his son, said, "How did your ball game go?" And it just hit me in that moment. I'm not going to be in that situation. I'm not going to be over the phone asking, "How'd your ball game go?" I'm going to be there to see it. So with that moment, I just started reevaluating my life and direction, and how I'd made choices up to that moment was me. Choosing what I wanted to do, chasing money, to be honest with you. Just, you know, the American dream, so to speak. And so I started reevaluating my direction and where I was headed, and really my purpose. Why me? Why us? It's for Him. Him alone. That's why we exist. That's why we're created, is to share His story with the lost world that we live in. And so I just started really praying and seeking God. And so I quit the railroad. I quit the railroad. I was called stupid, ignorant, crazy. We got some railroad workers here. I don't know if they're here this morning. They're part of this church. But you don't quit the railroad. You don't quit it. It's great. Money's good. Benefits. I mean, you can't beat it. It's awesome. But I had a bigger goal, and I was fighting my flesh in that moment. Crystal and I discussed it, and it was so hard. It's the only decision I made in our marriage that we were not on board with, but I knew I had to follow Jesus. I knew I had to follow Jesus. So with the railroads, it's a crazy schedule. You can't commit to anything. First, your ball games is what struck me first, but then I was involved here, and I couldn't, Josh, can you help out with this class? Well, no, I don't even know if I'm going to be there or not. Josh, can you greet this morning? No, probably can't, you know. I'll never forget, I was calling you at a hair appointment. That's when I had hair. And
7 years ago, you say?
Yeah. So I called to get a hair appointment, and they said, can you be here tomorrow at 3, whatever. I said, no, it's now or, you know, I can't. So anyways, I just wanted to get committed to God and realize that this life is not about us. This life's not about me. It's about Him. And when you start thinking that way, it sounds crazy. I started saying some things out loud that, you know, I'm going against my wife and my beautiful wife. I don't even get it. These guys get to brag on their wives. I don't. This is mine, Crystal, right here.
Yeah.
I was going against my wife in a decision to follow Christ, and it just did not make sense. And I started saying these things about just abandonment for Christ and these things that were coming out of my head sound radical. And I don't mean radical as that term these days has kind of got lost. I don't mean hate. I don't mean crimes. I mean a desire, a love that just doesn't make sense in our current Western Christianity. It's just a life that doesn't make sense. But you know what? I started saying these things. I started thinking about them, and they line up with this. I started digging into Scripture, and I was like, "Wait a minute! This makes sense. This makes sense." So, I want to dig in here real quick to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Give y'all a couple seconds. It's on the screen. All right, then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." And so again, I was selfish. I was selfish. I wanted my own desires, my own wants, my own lifestyle, my big bank account. Nothing's wrong. We talked about money recently. Nothing's wrong with money. But my desire for it was wrong. My intention for going after it was wrong. And so I was selfish. And then daily, you know, So I got to put aside this selfishness, and then we're to carry our cross daily. Pick it up. Easter is every day. Easter is every day. The resurrection should be celebrated every day. Get excited about it, guys. Read another scripture. You know, Jesus is our ultimate example, right? Right? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was here, lived a life, a sinless life, a perfect life. And through that, as we watch his life, that's our example. That's how we are called to live. And so I just want to point that out in Matthew 20, verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Jesus. Not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, to give his life for us. To give his life for us. And again, it's not about us. We're here for him. We're here for him, not for us. You know, what I mean by that is everything we do, I started evaluating just the smallest of smallest. Standing in line at the snow cone stand, paying a dollar or whatever for the person behind you to get a snow cone, and man, that just opens up conversation. When I was signing Jude up, this is our first year to play ball, I was signing him up, and it hit me in that moment of registering was, okay, this is not about baseball. This is another platform Christ has given me to share him. Everything we do, everything is about him. About him. Don't get caught up in your desires of what you want, and even in the church context, guys, we get hung up. We get hung up on things that have no eternal impact. None. It breaks my heart that we miss him. We miss him. I'm starting to shake. Does it break your heart that you miss Christ? I'm speaking to myself too. Oh, this is serious. Easter's every day. You know, again, to this radical term, radical Christianity should be normal Christianity, right? Mm. Right? Mm. I mean, we read this, and our first off, for me, I started thinking these things about how I, that just don't make sense. Quit the railroad. All these things are going through my mind, my family's future. It doesn't make sense in the term radical. But then I looked at Scripture and it lines up with it. So radical Christianity should be normal Christianity.
Well, man, we're hearing what I knew we'd hear from you. We're hearing the passion that God has put in your heart. And I'm with you. I agree with you 100%. When we look at our lives and what we call following Jesus sometimes, and we look at Scripture and what Scripture declares to be following Jesus, a lot of times it doesn't line up. We understand from Scripture that coming to church for 1 hour once a week does not necessarily define that we're following Jesus, right? As big of a deal as this is, but like it's bigger than that. And so, man, unpack this a little bit more. What brought this into focus for you? What caused those Scriptures and others like it to really kind of for the first time jump off the page at you and cause you to make major life shifts? And again, major life shifts sometimes cause you to quit the railroad. Sometimes major life shifts call you to stay on the railroad. It's not about the railroad. That's not the conversation, whether we're on the Jesus train or not, I guess. I don't know. Is really the conversation here, right? So it's not about, this is not a conversation about where you work, where we work so much as to what our focus is and what God wants to do through our lives. So what brought that into like just laser focus for you?
So I quit the railroad, changed jobs, took a 72% pay cut. Huge leap of faith.
Did you say 2%?
I wish. Took a 72% pay cut.
I'm not good at math, but that's a lot.
I had a sign purchased for our home to stick in the yard to sell it. And then God just did some crazy things. I'd love to share with you sometime. For the sake of time this morning, we don't have it, but God did some crazy, crazy things. Didn't have to sell our home. Had to sell our cars, but didn't have to sell our home. But then I started praying for brokenness. I just, again, started seeking God in everything. And I heard a sermon one time about revival from within. God, I want revival. And so a step in that was to be broken. So the idea is we're broken. And then we just beg God, plead with God to build us back up. So we're in pieces, but we put ourselves together sometimes, if that makes sense. You know, let's let God put us together. And so, man, I remember the mornings I get on my face. And I pray for this brokenness. Not knowing what brokenness meant, not knowing what brokenness was. I knew I wanted it. I knew I wanted to be broken, and I knew I wanted God to be the glue that held me together. So I pray for this brokenness, pray for this brokenness. Well, Crystal is pregnant during this time, and we are on cloud nine. I'm talking about we are pumped up, got a baby girl coming. We already had a rotten boy, and we got a little girl coming that's going to just make things just perfect. Boy, girl, you know, that's how I was. I'm the oldest, got a sister, and it just makes sense, right? You got both. And so
you were the rotten boy and your sister was the sweet girl, right?
No, who you asked.
Amen, sister. Amen, sister, right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we're excited, man. We got this room just decked out and, you know, the normal parent thing. And then let me introduce you to a little girl. Some of y'all know her. A lot of you know her. Some of you got to meet her. Let me introduce you to her. I don't get to introduce her very often. So her name is Briley Faith Turner. She lived 61 days. And God did some amazing, amazing things through her life. Still does. 4 years ago.
I just want to say on behalf of all of us, she's beautiful.
Briley had a disease called SMA. Just give you real short. SMA stands for spinal muscular atrophy. That is a genetic disorder that Crystal and I didn't know that we were even carriers of this. And so it was passed on to her. She had the worst case possible. No cure, no treatment, nothing. The prognosis was she's not going to make it. So that took a few days to play out. And so this whole time she's born, and we didn't know until the morning she was born, when she was born, that something was wrong. And when you hear the nurse get on the phone and say, O2 tank, in the delivery room now, oxygen tank, you knew something's not right. So we're just kind of, man, just trying to figure it all out, and it's crazy. So a couple days go by, things start to settle down. Crystal and I start to evaluate this situation. Let me back up. We weren't even on the God train yet. Man, we were thinking us. Why me? You know, that back to that selfishness. Why me? Why us? It was going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. Why? Why? I'm serving you, God. I'm living for you. I quit my job. That's what you wanted me to do, right? I'm serving you. I'm living for you. Why? Why? So we were just wrestled with that. And which is natural. It's natural. We wrestle with that. So really started to dig into that and evaluating that. And I told Crystal, I said, it's not about us. This is not about us. This is not about her. It's about him. Again, it's about him. Everything we go through, everything we do, everything we say, everything we think should be about him. It's bigger than us. And so we got to talking in the hospital room, and for the next 2 or 3 days there, we just were, man, digging into scripture and talking through this why, what's God doing, and finally just come to the moment that, again, it's not us. And God, I remember our prayers. It was, God, help us to be a mirror to reflect you. A lot of lights are going to be on us. A lot of eyes are going to be on us. Help us to be a mirror that reflects you, not us. Not us. again, we want to be radical for you. We want people to walk in and say, wait a minute, something's different here. And then, man, that just kicks the door open for, it's God. It's God. And so I come upon this scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Can you imagine that? Sitting in the hospital room with my daughter, and I read that. I sit on that for about 2 hours. Don't worry about anything. That don't make sense. How am I not supposed to worry about her? Instead, pray about everything. So I stopped. I stopped right there. All right. God, I'm still worrying. But wait a minute. The next step is pray. So I started praying like I ain't ever prayed before. I thought I was praying hard for brokenness. Now I'm praying hard for God to heal my daughter. And so, man, I started praying. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Wait a minute. Whoa. You told me not to worry. That was hard. Now I'm praying about that. Now you tell me to thank you. Thank you for all you've done? Whoa, this ain't making sense. So I found a way to thank God through prayer for what he's doing. And again, I realized at the point, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him. And so through that thanking him for using us, using my daughter to reach others, I've become thankful in that situation. I had people ask me, they said, if you could change anything, would you? And with 100% peace, I said, absolutely not. You know what I got to look forward to is heaven. This is temporary. With that comes a peace that we that's going to get to here in a minute that we can't understand. So don't worry. Pray. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So I wasn't at this moment yet of this peace. It wasn't there yet. So again, I just prayed as much as I could and thanked God for everything, for what he's doing. Not even making sense. Again, it's not that I believe it in my heart yet. I'm more or less saying it in my mouth right now. And so he developed my heart to come around to the where I was truly thankful for it. And then this peace. Crystal can attest to it. This peace come over us that you cannot understand, makes no sense. Again, in my life, I was called crazy. Are you okay? Do you not care about your daughter? I mean, all these things. By some family. And I said, no, it's about him. It's about him. And so it was just amazing how when we come to that point of peace, how we could just had opened the door for Christ to work. I mean, he worked and we shared him. We shared Easter. Easter's every day. Easter's every day. We shared him. Again, it's not about me. It's not about us. It wasn't about my family in that moment. It's about him. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. Y'all getting it? It's bigger than us. It's about him. Stay focused on him. It's about our loss list. It's about our loss list. Here's my loss list from last week. I'll name a couple. My son, the one that invited his grandma. He's asking questions. Is everything I do pointing him to Jesus? Everything I do, is it pointing him to Jesus? My neighbor. And you talk about conviction. I wrote neighbor. Couldn't even think of his name. Wow. Anybody else have any of those moments? I did. That's
awesome. For real.
Is everything I do, am I yelling at my kids when we're, you know, it's crazy, getting them all in the house when we pull up to our, you know?
Oh, wait a minute. You're not the only one? You're not the only
one? No. You guys, you're good. But Keaton may be worse shape than I am. He's got about 10. So,
He just gives them the eye. Yeah.
But it's about our loss list. Is everything we doing, are we focused on Him? Oh. This world throws curveball after curveball after curveball at us. Mm-hmm. Don't swing. It's going to be a ball. Don't swing. It's about our loss list. Again, I just want to reiterate what Kyle said. Easter is every day. Easter is for everybody. And Easter changes everything. Say it with me. Easter changes
everything. Amen. Amen. We all thank Josh. Amen. I think he was trying to help us realize that it's not about us. It's about Him. Church, wow, I want us to not miss this morning. Easter proper, the day that we celebrate according to the lunar calendar, comes up next Sunday. And oh, how we ought to celebrate big. And man, we're making plans. We're offering 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock to come worship, to make more room for you and the people that you invite and everyone that's going to be here. And are we going to celebrate Easter next Sunday? Absolutely. But Easter is today. Jesus is alive today. His work on the cross was completed. This week, I encourage you to get in Scripture and read the end of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke especially, and to read what Jesus did for you and how He suffered and how He bled and how He died. But He didn't stay dead. He came up from the dead. But we got one shot. Newsflash came across my computer screen this morning when I opened it up to check a couple things. Two churches in Egypt were bombed today. Palm Sunday. We got one shot. We don't know if we get the next Easter or not. This is it. The people that God's put around us need the hope that only Jesus can bring. Amen, church? So we're going to do something this morning. I'm going to finish. I'm going to pray. I'm literally going to ask you to take your loss list. Here's mine right here. I'm going to ask you to take your loss list, and I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable this morning. Josh was willing to get really uncomfortable this morning. And I'm going to ask you to bring your loss list up here and get on your face before God over your loss list this morning. I don't know if tomorrow is going to be the day that Easter is going to come alive for them. I don't know if next week is going to be the day that Easter becomes reality for them. I don't know if next year is going to be the day that Easter becomes reality for them. But here's what I know. God wants to use me, and God wants to use you. God wants to use us to impact this list. I don't know, there's probably well over 400 people in this room right now. If everybody has 5 names written down, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And there's so many more that could be added to our list. Amen, church? This morning, I'm asking you to literally physically respond to Jesus this morning. Listen, if you're here today and you're like, I don't have a lost list because I think I'm on that lost list, and you need Jesus today, the one we've been talking about, He died for you and He rose again, and today is the day of salvation, and we'd love for you to receive Christ. Would you stand with me and let's pray? Father, we bow before You this morning. We thank You for Your word. It's intense. It shakes us many times. It stirs us when we really read it. Philippians 4, that could be looked as a very nice, encouraging verse. Man, we're in the middle of going through chaos in our lives. It's a hard saying. And yet it's a true saying. And the end result is a peace that passes all understanding. And many of us in this room, we've experienced that peace. We know it. We have it in our lives. And Father, we want other people to experience it today. Father, I pray that Your church would move physically this morning, that we would get on our knees and on our face for the people that You've put in our lives, and that we pray for them to come to know You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.